the Around the NFL podcast. Failed the league's substance abuse policy.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast, presented by Head & Shoulders. My name is Dan Hansis, and I'm joined by a room filled with some heroes, Mark Sessler and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
Well, sometimes you start a show and everything goes quite as planned, and today we've been hit with...
We've been hit with a bummer. We don't need to, you know, pretend like the Deshaun Watson torn ACL news we just found out about isn't a huge bummer. It was literally 2 minutes before we started taping. This season is cursed.
Yes, Deshaun Watson, Ian Rappaport reports that...
Sorry, it's taking a while to recover.
A knee injury sustained today at practice. Was revealed the fear was a torn ACL, and then Mike Garafolo confirmed via source that it is indeed a torn ACL. It is the cherry on top of what has just been a terrible NFL season with major injuries to players. I mean, the list: Aaron Rodgers, Andrew Luck, who we're going to get to in a second, J.J. Watt, Odell Beckham, David Johnson, and now the most explosive rookie quarterback we've seen since maybe Andrew Luck and Robert Griffin III came into the league, the guy that was almost single-handedly keeping the AFC afloat as an interesting entity in what's been a down year for the conference, and this idea that, of course, now the throne of ease goes into hyperdrive.
You're very concerned about this. Okay.
I mean, I'm not the only one.
It's a fair concern.
Mark, you take Watson out of the AFC. First of all, goodbye to the Texans, who are 3-4, to be fair, already, but goodbye to the Texans as an interesting entity. And it just makes the whole season a lot less exciting because he was such a fun part of this year.
We had our network bump kicked off the air for the roughly 17th time in a row.
Stunner.
And what we were going to talk about on that one was Greg's QB index. And my one point was to be Deshaun Watson. He was below Tyrod Taylor and a few others.
He was number 8 overall.
That
pretty
he
solid.
Needed to be higher in
now,
my
how
book.
How do you feel about yourself now, Greg?
What does that have to do with anything?
He's gone, now that he's been ripped away from us by the football gods, you never properly respected how amazing he was this season, and now it's too late to change that.
He was...
8th place forever for Greg as a rookie.
I mean, that's pretty good, top 10 as a rookie. Not many rookies have that sort of honor. He was a guy who I believe I said on this program last week... It was like he was exactly what the NFL needed this season because of all these other injuries, because of everything else that's going on that's made it a weird season. Like, he was the single most exciting player and story from an on-field perspective, and it kept getting better each and every week. Like, I was looking forward to Texans-Colts, not a game that I'm going to be looking forward to now just because he's going up against the worst defense in the league. Like, wow, this is going to be fun.
Texans-Colts has been reduced to salt at this point, but they're 3-4, the Texans, and now you lose entire hope for them to do anything in this season. But had they had Deshaun Watson... And had they crept into the playoffs, even as a 9-7 team, as the Texans are wont to do, I would say they could have beaten anyone in the AFC with the way they were playing right now. Because their defense is majorly suspect, but their offense was so electrifying that they could have gone into any distant away field. They could have done it at home and knocked anyone in that conference out.
It's completely wiped away so many anything that people wrote this week. If you wrote about the AFC... Deshaun Watson's going to be coming up. I wrote in a piece that I wrote yesterday how the injuries that the Texans sustained to Watt and Merciless and Covington this week, him going on IR, just another blow for them. But as long as Watson was involved in what's been a weird topsy-turvy kind of year for the AFC, the Texans should not be kept out of the mix, and they are still a team to keep an eye on, at least be fun to watch. And that's all wiped away.
One of the things that I was really looking forward to with their team, which is taken away, is like Bill O'Brien had done a really interesting and great coaching job coming out of the bye week. It was very noticeable. Their offense was very unlike just about any offense that we've seen in the NFL. It's all on misdirection and multiple guys in the backfield doing different sorts of action. I think, you know, Bill O'Brien deserved a good amount of credit for helping Watson as a rookie. He was really showing how versatile he is, such a different quarterback than some of the guys they had before. I think they would have had a trouble making the playoffs in that division with Jacksonville and Tennessee. I would have put that under, you know, I was not expecting this Texans team because it's a bad defense to make the playoffs. But now they've got, like, for instance, looking at this Sunday, they've got a game against the Colts where it's like, that's a coin flip game. I'm going to just take the Colts out of out of disappointment
like
right now.
It's like total also-rans, and the game doesn't matter.
You can't take either of these teams seriously at this point.
One last point before we, because we got so much to get to. Mark, you brought it up, and yes, Greg, you know I'm a bitter Jets fan and all that, but it did feel like the sense that if the Texans did find a way to 9 wins, they were the type of worst-case scenario to be coming into Foxborough.
They were like the early, you know, the early Bulls with Jordan. Like any of these teams that have this star that's developing into something that's going to change the NFL, which I think Deshaun Watson is that kind of talent, then you believe that he can tug the team, no matter what the record is at the end of the regular season, into a special place in the postseason that's been wiped away entirely. It's another AFC team we can't count on or get excited about from now till the end of the year.
They did have one chance at home against a real AFC power, and they were not in the same ballpark as the Kansas City Chiefs, just like they weren't in the same ballpark of the Jaguars in week one, with which Tom Savage started, and now we get Tom Savage starting games again.
Tom Savage is real.
And, yeah, Mark, I think you put it well. I think Watson was an anything-can-happen type talent, though, and to take him from the equation, it hurts. It stinks as football fans. And if you're a Texans fan, at least you got the Astros in Houston, but my God, this is quite a comedown. All right, we got all the Week 9 games to get to, including Colts-Texans, but let's talk Andrew Luck when we get back, because all of a sudden that game doesn't seem like it means much. But before we do that, the first game of Week 9 was played on Thursday night. Greg and I talked about it. Let's check it out.
Under center is McCown. Straight back to throw. Looks right. Throws a bomb down the right sideline. Robbie Anderson juggles it. Does he have it? He does. That's a Jet touchdown. Robbie Anderson down the sideline. And McCown dropped it right down the chimney again.
Ian Eagle with the call. The New York Jets. The New York Jets. The Bills come to town, and the Bills go home. All those Bills fans that came down from Western New York because they thought they were going to get a bloodbath. Well, they got one, but it went the other direction. The New York Jets, 34-21 win over the Bills, and it wasn't that close. You heard Robbie Anderson, his touchdown reception from Josh McCown. The Jets also ran the ball extremely well against the Bills. And Greg Rosenthal, the Bills They took 7 sacks of Tyrod Taylor. They could not move the ball. They got a ton of penalties. Just when we were starting to talk up the Bills as a AFC Cinderella, tonight happens. Your thoughts?
Well, they got the curse. This was the week everyone in the national media felt the need, and I probably did this too, was like, all right, the Bills are for real. And then they go in, and it was one-sided. It was also a game that all the bounces that have gone the Bills' way that we talked about, this is kind of like, oh, a magical season. It started going the other way for them, especially in the first half. They drop an interception. Another turnover goes the other way. They had the play late where, was it, O'Leary was on the ground. Then he gets up and he fumbles it. But the Jets were the better team. That was the most surprising thing about the game, just that it was one-sided. That they won the line of scrimmage battle pretty easily, I would say, on both sides.
Yeah, this was a 10-7 game at halftime, and then the Jets just took off. I mean, you blinked your eyes, and all of a sudden it was 34-7. And you know what? I think as a Jets fan, that's really kept this team at a distance.
You're getting excited.
For the first time, I have to say that in light of the terrible news with Deshaun Watson, and now seeing that the Bills, you know, Bills come into the Meadowlands and lay an egg like this, that last wild card spot truly is wide open. And I'm not
Can't wait.
The Jets are 4-5. The Bills are still in good shape right now at 5-3. But I think any team, and I watch this game with Handsome Hank and the Quiet Storm and Damashek and others tonight, any team that's kind of within shouting distance of 500 in the AFC cannot be ruled out as a team that's going to be playing meaningful December football. And for the first time, despite the Jets having, Greg, a tough schedule going forward, I'm not ruling them out from being in the mix in mid-December. And I can't believe I'm saying that. I'm so happy to say that. I know they're not going to win the Super Bowl. I know they're probably not going to play in the postseason. But now, for the first time, I believe it is certainly possible this team could be playing meaningful football in December. And I would have never guessed that 3 months ago. Marrone!
I'm excited for you to just admit out loud what your heart has been telling you, because you say you've been keeping this team at a distance. But
I have. I'm being honest with you.
I'm next to you on Sundays. If that's at a distance, I mean, if you get any closer to them in the coming weeks, they're going to get pregnant. Because this team, you love this team when they're ahead and they've had some tough end.
Wait, what was that?
I said if that's at a distance, I mean, now you're going to be so close they're going to get pregnant.
No, I heard it, but your insinuation.
It doesn't really mean anything.
Right.
They've got a tough schedule here. They've lost five games.
But what's a tough schedule in 2017? Tell me. Like, what in the NFC, in the AFC, no, there's really very few teams that you look at and say, oh, we're not going to win this week. That's all I'm saying.
Well, you got the Bucs coming up next and then a bye week. So you have a very realistic chance to get to 5-5 right around Thanksgiving. And if nothing else, like, that's a gift right there. You're playing meaningful games from Thanksgiving
on. That's what I'm saying.
And you got the Chiefs, the Saints, and the Patriots. Those are three teams that look like good teams, and you don't have a ton of margin for error. But this game should provide hope because it was by far the best game the Jets have played. Now, I'm not too confident that they can do it week after week, but I don't think it was a fluky game. They've had parts of their team getting better. Certainly the defensive line and the defense is getting better. They've looked like a professional offense at times this season, and they really put together a complete game. This was easily their best game as a whole for the year.
Yeah, and when I say keeping them at a distance, I kind of mean along the lines of they've been playing almost every team this season tight, and now when they kind of put it on the Bills, who everyone's been slobbering over this season, it's like, oh, all right, so they're kind of at the same level of almost anybody else that fancies themselves a potential playoff team. So that's what you're excited about as a Jets fan.
Mario Davis, Darren Lee, Jamal Adams, Leonard Williams, Muhammad Wilkerson, May. The defense, I don't think, is fluky. Like, they have 6, 7, 8 players now playing at a really high level.
But see, you're trying to suck me in to get my heart broken. I'm not that far in. I get the deficiencies of this team, but now I'm kind of going with the flow of what is a very weird NFL season, and now understanding that if the Jets are going to hang around 500, you don't need to win more than 9 games to get a playoff spot, I think, this year. You never know, but it kind of feels like it could even be a weird 8-8 year, Greg. We're kind of overdue for that, too. So let's see. Jets are 4-5. Bills, 5-2. Bitterly disappointing loss for the Bills. You go on the road in primetime, yeah, you could lose a game, but you kind of expected more from this team. So I'm sure all those Western New Yorkers that came down, they're kind of scratching their heads, and a lot of people, Bills fans at home, doing the same thing tonight.
It's one game, and they have played really competitively, and they played smart for the most part. And tonight they made a lot of dumb mistakes. So I think they'll be in the mix. And look, I should be taking this as good news. It got the Patriots in the first place here.
Look at you. You're flying. Always on the throne of ease, no matter what happens. All right, before we get back, listen, there it is, Greg. There's the cherubs.
Man, that
popping grapes
seems like
in your mouth.
A strange time for
strumming
it.
Strumming the harp. But still, like today, even today, they're not even near the football field. Some good things are happening.
They had a good bye week.
It's been a good day for you. So I hope you're enjoying it. Before we move on to getting back to the previews, let's hear what Keith Hansis had to say. Because, listen, my dad, since we've been doing this, not a lot of things to call about and be happy about. So I want to hear my dad happy on a Thursday night. He's retired. He doesn't have to get up for work in the morning. He's having a nice night, and the Jets did him right. Let's listen to Keith.
His name is Keith. He's Dad's dad. No doubt about it. He's a big Jets fan. What is he going to say about the game today?
What a performance by the Jets tonight against the Bills. First on defense, they were outstanding with 7 sacks against a tough Bills team. Secondly, on offense, they kept their foot on the accelerator tonight and controlled the line by running for 197 yards rushing, which was outstanding. And third, they finally finished the game, even though it was tough at the end. But nevertheless, it was a big victory tonight.
Dad nailed it. Let's move on. Now let's talk about Andrew Luck. There was a thought that he was going to play this season. We were virtually assured of it Mark, by Colts management and ownership. And then he had the setback. And then officially on Thursday, it was announced that Andrew Luck being moved to injured reserve, his season wiped out. And you have to have just concerns about his long-term value or availability or whether his prime is going to be impacted forever. Now.
Well, it already has. His prime has been impacted because he's missed so many games. At the same time, I think the Colts they wanted to keep this a hopeful situation and work with Andrew Luck. And how he felt, he was always given a lot of power, obviously, as he should in this scenario, as to when he'd be ready to come back, practice. He tried to practice. There was a setback. He got pulled back out. And I felt at that point when they talked about shelving him for a period of time, that was roughly, what, 10, 12 days
right.
ago or something, that to me felt like this season's not going to happen for Andrew Luck. And the point would be, or maybe you put him in with the Colts, a three-win nightmare in mid-December. I'm not sure that even makes sense for him, but it just seems to me like this is honestly the smartest thing. Well, Give him the entire offseason.
Well, it sounded like they didn't have a choice. I mean, the plan was to ramp up his practice and that he was if they wouldn't have had him on the field practicing again unless they were optimistic that he could continue to do more and more and then eventually play this season. The fact that he was feeling so much soreness, and as Ian Rappaport described it on our air today, really that other muscles and other joints and other issues started popping up in his shoulder. They were essentially compensating for the shoulder injury that he had. That was all unforeseen. I mean, I'm thinking back to Jim Irsay saying, this guy's starting week one for sure. Back in
right.
you know,
yeah.
March or April.
He'll be ready for the beginning of the season.
The GM,
like
yeah, the GM never, GM Chris Ballard never put a timetable on it. Neither did the coaches. It's such a bummer because you think back to week three of 2015. That's when he suffered this injury. He played that game through this injury. He came back, had an unbelievable comeback against the Titans to win that game. Then he tried to play through it that year, shut down, misses half that season, plays through it in 2016 where he's not the same guy, and yet he still was very good. This is three seasons, ages 26 to 28. That is his prime.
Yeah.
That's in the middle,
and
you miss it.
Do we put any stock into what they knew even days ago when you hear whispers that Dante Moncrief, T.Y. Hilton, X, Y, and Z, Frank Gore, that they were all available for trade, that it was potentially a fire sale on offense? If you're going to get Andrew Luck back
this week, yes. I think the second...
They must have known.
The minute that they pulled him back from practicing, as you mentioned, I think they knew then that it was unlikely he'd play again. Mm. It's such a bummer because as exciting as Deshaun Watson is, Andrew Luck is right there as one of those three or four quarterbacks I like to watch.
It just feels like a memory right now. I don't feel like I have a fresh memory of seeing him play three games in a row.
And you just wonder if when we do finally see him again, if he'll still be the same guy. Let's hope so. Anyway, so Andrew Luck now done for the year, joins the mass. It's going to be like an all-time all-pro team of this generation. Just on IR this year. It's fun. Really fun.
And I hate to like think of who this is good news for. The Luck news is not a surprise. But if you're a Titans or the Jaguars right now, it's suddenly just a two-team race.
Yeah.
There was no Luck coming back to save the Colts. Not that we thought there was lately. And there's no Texans anymore. One of those teams is going to the playoffs.
It's a major blow for January.
Let's now move to some other games. Let's start in the NFC. With the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who now travel to New Orleans to face the Saints. The Saints are the hottest team in football. They've won five straight games. And on paper, Greg Rosenthal,
the games aren't played on paper.
But on paper, this looks like another recipe for Saints victory. You got the Bucs who are not playing well at all, and their quarterback may not be right. His shoulder could be an issue.
He didn't look healthy. He has erratic accuracy even when things are right, so you're never sure what the issue is, but he hasn't been able to practice fully in a while. And when you look at this Saints team, they're not the Saints team that we saw before. The whole focus is on the defense. That's true, but everything about this team is different. They are 12th in the league in pass attempts. This is a team that every year, good or bad, are the top team. Usually one or two, almost always one. They're a ball control offense. Willie Snead, remember him? He was a major factor for this team for a long time. He's barely playing. They always throw to tight ends in New Orleans, whether it's Ben Watson or was it Jimmy Graham or Kobe Flanders. They don't throw to their tight ends anymore. There's no Brandon Cooks on this team. It's like a totally different team, even offensively. it's more conservative, and Drew Brees is such a pro, he can kind of handle whatever type of offense they want to run, and he's playing well.
Well, and people look back on that Saints Super Bowl team and think, well, obviously Drew Brees threw the ball crazy amounts, and they got by on turnovers on defense with Greg Williams, blah, blah, blah.
But that's what I think.
They ran the ball that year more than they had any year up until this season. They're balanced.
Right in that same area.
Right. They are using their running backs as receivers too, but they're a running back based offense. I love the way they're using Ted Ginn, where in other offenses, Ted Ginn has been purely a deep threat. Now he's a line of scrimmage guy to get you yards after the catch.
Ted Ginn's been good.
He's been great. And then I look at the Bucks, who I think we spent all summer, and it was very easy to fall into this trap. We've covered this ground on Hard Knocks, and there are all the elements were there to say the Bucks are a team that's going to take the next step with the talent they have. And we just didn't know enough about how the defense would respond. And they've been injured, but they've also been an utter disaster. I watched that Panthers-Bucks game, and it was the hardest thing that I've seen on Game Pass in a solid month.
I don't even really want to talk about the Bucks until they show a sign of life.
Last in QB hits, last in sacks, probably
exactly.
no Brett Grimes.
Every key metric, their defense isn't bottom five or last.
They've hurt me. They've hurt me, and so I'm moving away from them and go back to the Saints and just say that the one thing that I do also really admire about, and Sean Payton deserves a lot of credit, obviously, is that usually when you make this move, when you have a veteran, an older veteran quarterback, and it's like all of a sudden, oh, now they're a running team, and usually it's done partly or mostly out of necessity. But why it's, I think part of the reason it's really working is Drew Brees can still play.
Still looks good.
They do ask him to make throws and when he has to do it, he's still Drew Brees. So when you take that and then put a smart run philosophy in the mix and then mix in playmakers like your boy Marshawn Lattimore on defense and
Brandon Coleman,
Alvin Kamara in the backfield. I mean, it is so far away from week two.
Wow.
Adrian Peterson was scowling at Sean Payton and their defense was getting fried. And people
maybe
like
this
me
could be your
were
new,
making fun of
right the
this
fact that Mark
Texans,
Sessler
maybe,
is giving a shout out to Brandon Coleman, you know, as a longtime Saints homer on this podcast, you know, that's music to my ears.
Anyway, so the Saints will probably destroy the Bucks, who are fraudulent.
if you heard me, like you should lock this up or something.
If you heard me on premium cable, I hurt you twice as hard. That's my whole weird.
That is an age-old code.
Very strange. Strange philosophy by the old Zeuser. Let's move on. The Los Angeles football Rams travel to the Meadowlands to face the G-Bans.
I have waited so long for that sound effect from Dan to come into play on this podcast because you've been doing it down in the office and in various other buildings and rooms for weeks.
Mark, the Rams are 5-2. The G-Men are 1-6. And there are still people. Mark, there's still people out there that don't trust the Rams and maybe don't trust Jared Goff. They look at the Rams and they go, prove it!
Well, I mean, okay. I think they have issues of their own, potentially. I see a lot of reasons to believe in the Rams. I think the thing, though, is that if you get caught up in the early part of the season, you say that Sean McVay is completely, and it's a finished product, transform Jared Goff. It's a finished product, and we're going to get the early primetime version of Jared Goff we got for the rest of the year. But last couple weeks, it's been, they had a bye last week, but previous, as you see him get pressured more, I think there's still some growing pains with Jared Goff, and it's a little bit of the function of the offense around him, but I'm super encouraged by the Rams in general. I think they're going to easily take care of business against the Giants, who the Giants, to me right now, there is a stink on them. They feel totally dysfunctional. I don't like the energy around this team. We're getting players get shelled for the year. You're getting players suspended. I mean, come on.
Janoris Jenkins, this is 2 weeks after DRC gets suspended. Now Janoris Jenkins suspended indefinitely. I mean, it's just it's a lost season for a lost team. So now you see what happens, Greg, with a team like the Giants when everything's down. Eli, does he survive the season? Does he make it look respectable for them? I feel like this is a close game, though. I still think that they're going to put up a fight here.
The Giants have been very competitive almost every week. I mean, they could have a better record than they do. They're not a good team.
It was 10-7 against the
But they're competitive
the
basically every week. No Janoris Jenkins hurts, though. That, to me, is a Pro Bowl cornerback this year. Maybe it's the week to get Sammy Watkins a little more involved. He is the fourth leading receiver on this team. As good as their offense has been, no one on this team is on pace for even 1,000 yards. They are spreading it around to like six different guys. Really,
that feels healthy to me, though.
Yeah, that's good. And And I was thinking early in the year, like, oh, that Wade Phillips, you know, love letter I wrote to him, not looking too good. But by the end of the season, he'll turn things around. And it's like he had already turned it around by the bye. He's a top five defense right now in by Football Outsiders metrics. So they turned it around quickly, and this is more of a balanced team that can win with their defense.
Well, and that's why I don't really give New York a chance in this, because how are they going to score more than 10 points? It's an offense based around essentially Evan Engram right now.
Let's move forward. The Denver Broncos, now 3-4, riding a three-game losing streak. And how bad can it get? How bad has your season gone? Trevor Siemian, you've just gotten benched by 2017 Brock Osweiler. And that's not a good thing. So, 400 dead.
That was grisly.
400 old. Dead, 4,000 unaccounted for.
Old pylon Hansis.
What do you want from me? He just got benched by Brock Osweiler. Let's be fair. For Brock Osweiler.
Oh, I can't believe it.
They move now to play a game in Philly. A tough spot here, Mark. Carson Wentz against the Rocky Mountain Avalanche. Who comes out on top?
I like that it's in Philly, number one. And I guess if you're
making
trying
it happen.
If you're trying to game plan for Denver's defense, you could maybe look at what the Chiefs were successful at. They really did a good job against Kansas City despite the score, which is a little deceiving. But Travis Kelce had a big night. He's had a big night before against Denver. Denver is 30th in the league against tight ends. And now you have Zach Ertz, who is arguably the number one tight end in the NFC, if not the NFL right now. I think it's a big game for Zach Ertz. And I wonder how much we'll see of Jay Ajayi. I don't know if we're going to get a full read this week on how he'll be used.
I think you'll see him, because he's been with them for an entire week there. I mean, maybe you're right, not 20 carries if that's what he's going to get in the future.
That would be sexy.
And I think it was such a low-cost move for them that it was a no-brainer. And I think it was an admission by them that their offense has been good, but it's so reliant on three or four crazy, spectacular plays by Wentz every week that they're an inconsistent offense. I am very curious to see how they do against such a good defense in Denver. Because when I watch the Eagles, to me, their season is much like that 49ers game. It's a lot of, like, you don't see anything for about a quarter and a half, a lot of punts or mistakes, and then they just explode for 10 minutes, and that's enough. But against a good defense like Denver, they could keep it close.
Well, and I, you know, to the Osweiler part of it,
oh my God.
It bothers me when, and you read sometimes this overly flowery nonsense about, oh, the Broncos are turning to Brock Osweiler. It's like, we're going to see every single quarterback on this roster before the end of the year.
Well, the only reason he's playing is because Paxton Lynch. You know,
there's that, and I mean, I just think it's going to flip back to Siemian at this point. Osweiler will be exposed by the third quarter of this.
Siemian game. Needed a break. He was mentally, just didn't seem like he was all the way there.
Do you think I've been piling on a little bit with the Team Trev stuff?
No, I mean, you...
Well, every show, it's your, a 500-600 die in a train
right,
crash.
That, yeah, that's your move. I mean, you do it in fairness, like the Jets have been that big of a mess basically since we've started doing this show, and you often have them crashing into this.
I think you were ahead of the trend though in seeing that Siemian was not living up to
right.
Their offensive line. Their
but
offensive
I will just say, to Mark's point, now that it's come up, I do believe back in early September, Greg maybe was mansplaining to me a little bit how I was pumping up.
Why is it mansplaining?
It's not mansplaining. It's Greg splaining.
It's just disagreeing. It's disagreeing.
But it's also known as disagreeing.
In that one instance with this player, usually, no, I don't think you mansplain a lot. In that case, you're like, listen, old dumb nuts.
Yeah.
I've watched every snap. Shut your mouth. This guy's a stud.
He did look good, yeah, though. Come on. He, like, 2 weeks into the season, he looked like a developing franchise quarterback.
Right. I mean, I think
it's all right.
Anyone behind that offensive line in that situation, like, I don't think that his career is over. I think he has a chance to be good.
Yeah, he still can. Let's move on. The Ravens are 4-4. And not an exciting team, but give them credit. They just won 40-0, so we'll give them a little love here and give them a chance to go into Tennessee and beat the Titans. Tennessee Titans coming off a bye, Greg. Marcus Mariota, who, by the way, some people were surprised. There are streets talking that Marcus Mariota is in your top 10 of your QB index. If he really is worthy of a top 10 place, yeah, go take care of business at home. Go ahead, Titans.
Who would you have higher than him then? That was lower.
We don't have a lot of time, frankly, to get into it, but I'd probably put, I think, Big Ben, who's not had a great season, but I'd probably still put him ahead of Mariota.
That whole, I'll admit, the whole Mariota and onward, 10 to about 17 or so, they're all about the same. But the difference is Mariota, you kind of know who he is every week, and you can't say that about almost every quarterback. I think he's been very consistent. It hasn't been spectacular. He lucked out a little bit with some easy matchups when he got hurt, but he basically is the same guy each week, and the difference with the Titans is that they can't run the ball. I'm so not impressed with their running game. The numbers are better than I think they've actually been, and this is a matchup kind of between disappointing units, which is the rushing defense of the Ravens, which we expected to be good, and the rushing attack of the Titans, because they're not the Titans if they can't run the ball.
No,
they're lucky to be.
I'm more impressed with Alex Collins of late than I am with any other running back in this game right now. I will say this, the Titans, I know they wanted to change the identity of their offense a little bit this season, but I don't know that they wanted to get so far away from what they were last year, which I thought was a team.
Well, they're just bad at running now. They're not trying to do that.
Not getting it done. I do think there's a lot of buzz in Tennessee that Corey Davis may be back, the rookie first-round wide receiver this week, and they've talked about the fact that they feel like he can completely change what the passing game can do, that can kind of honest up defenses. We'll see.
And Odell Beckham may be the exception that proves the rule here. He missed a chunk of training camp and then the first four games and then became a superstar. But I don't like when rookie wide receivers miss large chunks of time.
Yeah,
it's not optimal.
And then the idea that, oh, now he'll be in and he'll become a part of this offense. It might end up being a redshirt year for him. I don't know. Just consider me pessimistic on that.
If you scroll down.
Let's get a sound effect. Let's get the Corey Davis crashing vehicle sound effect.
If you scroll down in the old QB index this week, you would find at number 27, Joe Flacco. I mean, come back to us, Joe Flacco. At this point, like his arm is fine. You see the arm strength, that's fine. His offensive line has been fine. There's not really a lot of excuse for the fact that this week he finally passed DeShone Kizer, and now he is second to last place in yards per attempt. This is the NFL's ultimate and worst dink and dunk offense, and it's run by Joe Flacco. Something's going on here.
But
I don't know if it's Flacco or Morningweg or anything.
How about our old friend Ozzie Newsome? Get this man some real talent around him. See if he can still play. I don't think he's ever been like an absolute superstar quarterback, but give him some pieces. Does he have pieces? Do you think he
Not right now.
Is he good enough to overcome not having pieces? I don't know if he can.
Not this year.
Macklin, Wallace, Perriman, I don't know.
No, they've been banged up.
All right, let's move on. The Washington Redskins are losers of two straight games, two tough divisional losses, and what's their reward for that failure? Now go to Seattle and face the Seahawks, who are back to being an NFC force, four-game winning streak. So that's the last time we get to see Deshaun Watson. That game. We get
the game of the year.
One of the great rookie performances of the decade, and then that's it for the season. That's fair. Thanks, football gods. You're the worst, football gods. You are terrible, and you can't do anything to hurt me.
Oh,
I'm a Jets fan.
Yeah, I have a few complaints.
Can't do it. Yeah. What about old Marky Mark over here? Bad job by you, football gods. Stick it up your ace.
That should please them. Jets don't win again until 2028.
Jets give up like 7 first-round picks for A.J. McCarron tomorrow.
Okay. Football gods are like, we found a way to keep you from going to London this year. Wait till you see what we got in store for you.
Oh, we're 2018. Just getting going.
That would I'll stick my foot in my mouth. I was going to. I'm not going.
Yeah, no, good.
Save it for things I'm going to say to get fired podcast.
Let's move on and talk about this game. All right, so the Seahawks at home, and Mark, this is a game that you figure they'll take. They should be able to win, but at the same time, the Redskins are desperate here. They need a win.
Redskins defense has hit the skids of late, but I am what was lost a little bit in that Texans Seahawks game was the fact that if you're Seattle, Your ground game was operating at a sub-zero level until maybe the 54th minute of that contest. And I would love to see that Dwayne Brown, if you want to really talk about Seattle as a team that's going to forge deep into the playoffs, I know Russell Wilson, he can pull magic out of a hat every week, and that's a tangible gift. But with Dwayne Brown at left tackle, if he can help, A, protect Russell Wilson, but help that ground game get going a little bit too. I don't think that's entirely on the line. I don't think they have a back right now that has stepped in and said, I'm going to dominate and be the lead back here. They don't have that guy.
Well, for the first time, they are saying that they're going to try it that way, that Eddie Lacy is going to be that guy this week.
Okay.
He is going to be their lead back. They'll give him a chance.
Right.
They are saying that's the plan.
I like that idea.
They are a passing team, though. And I think that was overlooked in that game, too. Deshaun Watson was great. Russell Wilson was the best quarterback in that game. I don't think it was any question. He made almost as many great plays, made almost no mistakes.
Still kicking the guy all he's down. Unbelievable.
That's
Mr. Eighth place, Deshaun Watson. Not even the best quarterback.
I do these little grades and whatnot for the thing. He had one of the best games I think any quarterback had all season,
all right, I'm saying,
Russell Wilson. And this is a passing offense for the first time. We've been saying, like, when are they going to become kind of like a passing attack? He's got Richardson playing well and healthy. Lockett is starting to look like Lockett again and is healthy. Doug Baldwin is who he is. Like, this is a good looking little passing.
Well, they have Jimmy Graham being used correctly in the red zone, getting more targets than he ever has before.
He started catching the ball a little bit last week.
I'm not in love with Jimmy Graham, but
here's what Pete Carroll said on Thursday about Dwayne Brown and the difference that he's made. He just ran about 50 plays and he didn't even have a glitch in any part of it. That's pretty remarkable. I'm counting on an immediate impact, and we'll see what if Dwayne Brown plays at his top level, which is certainly possible, and once he knocks the rust off, everything changes for them.
Remember when the Redskins offense used to be fun to watch?
And
they lost their starting receivers, but they've also kind of lost Jordan Reed and Jamison Crowder. Like, those guys were good last year. Crowder finally had a good game last week. They're a little shorthanded on the offensive line, and even though Dan has said that the Legion of Boom is dead, that's a quote. He says it's dead. I've studied all of
holding my feet to the fire on that one. I respect it.
I've studied all the metrics in this contest, and I've decided that I'm going to lock it up.
Oh!
Oh, hello.
Snuck up on me there. I like that.
That was a nice, soft-spoken lock it up.
Master of subtlety.
I got to change my approach. Things have not been going well.
I hear you.
Greg says that because he's in a locked for second place, which is also last place, 3-5 with Mark. Pulled into a tie with Mark, 3-5. The old Zeuser.
Greg does not appreciate being tied with Mark in picks. That is for sure.
The old Zeus is 6-2 in riding a 5-game.
Wow.
So come get me, boys. We're going to talk Bengals and Jaguars. But before we talk about those two felines, Mark, I think you have a little announcement or update for us.
We'll do this quickly, but we asked for hashtag ATNCat. Names for the ATN cat that we found in my yard on Monday night, and we've gotten a lot of creative offerings, and I'm going to read them real quick in a list.
Sure.
Cat names, : Thunderhead, Cat Hasselback, Friday, The Very Little C, Americano, Summer Bear, 8-Ball, Mr. Fancy Pants, Perel Suggs, Meowtavious Bryant, Katrick Claibon, Jairus Birdcatcher,
Jairus Byard. Jairus Byard.
Micro Modal. Lunch Pail. AJ McCatten. Cat Schaub. Jason Kitten. The Cat Nascenti. Deep Threat.
I love that.
Deep Threat. Tomcat Brady. Feline Backer. Luma. Model T. Wessler. Jake Briscat. Christian McCatfrey. One of my favorites, Cat Money Smith. And one that I think also needs a lot of attention for our dear pal Wes, the old Mouser.
Wait, can I see the list for a second?
Sure.
Because a few stuck out to me.
What was
Katrick Claibon is pretty funny.
That's good.
I like The Very Little C. It's a mouthful.
Very Little C.
To be thinking about using it in a time of crisis. So, right.
Well, yeah, I guess. That's a lot. Very Little C. But I do like that. Mr. Fancy Pants, I kind of like.
I don't know.
Mr. Fancy Pants was the name that Dave Damashek gave Mark Sessler. An attempt to really make it stick as being the name that Mark was known by in the media world.
I don't need that coming back into the mix.
It was a big loss for Damashek right there.
He took the L on that one. I like the Birdcatcher one, the Jairus Birdcatcher.
Jairus Birdcatcher.
Jairus Byard. Jairus Byard.
And the Cat Nascenti is that's near and dear to my heart.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's resurface this on Tuesday.
We shall.
Wait, is Simone signing off on us being able to name it with the audience's help?
Well, there's a lot of complexities behind the scenes, but we'll get into that on Tuesday.
It's been bubbling behind the scenes on social media, and just to pull back the curtain, if you're friends with Mark on Facebook, that the cat already has a name.
Well, the cat doesn't know that though. I'd have to work with various family members under the age of 8.
Let's talk about.
They're not aware of our bit on
the
show.
They don't even know.
They don't know what's truly important.
Not even quite clear what Dad does for work. So
they're not listeners. You're saying?
No.
These kids are ordering like $900 worth of Legos.
They're busy doing that.
Our highly rated podcast. All right, The Bengals
is Daddy ever coming back?
Thank you.
The Bengals and Jaguars are facing off. Interesting game here. The Jags are coming off a bye, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right? Am I right when I say that?
You are correct. That's dead on.
Feel better about it. And the week before, they had shut out the Colts and had 10, 11 sacks. It was quite a performance. And Cincinnati just barely survived in Indianapolis against Indianapolis at home last week, which disgusted you, Mark. Your thoughts on this game?
I was hard on the Bengals on Sunday night. And instead of apologizing, I will say that I was absolutely correct. This is the game that people will point to and say, you're over. Your season is over, Cincinnati, because the Jacksonville Jaguars, which have flip-flopped wins and losses all year long, are going to come in here and do what they do. Hmm. Everyone made fun of this team with the little Saxonville hashtag thing. I was at the top of it. It seemed absurd to me, but they lead the league. They're on pace right now for more sacks than any team in NFL history, and I believe that Tom Coughlin has something to do with it, the way that he's developed, he's brought people in, because the last time the Jaguars had the number one defense, which they're on pace to do, who was their coach? What was the year? 1999? Tommy Coughlin!
So you're going to lock it up?
No. Like, just feeling pretty strong about it.
A lot of build up there.
Locking up a home team against this Bengals team, zero courage in that move.
And you have to be a man of integrity in this game. You're right.
The Colts are the worst defense in the league. That's my opinion. After losing Malik Hooker, they might not have Vontae Davis. They didn't have Vontae Davis. And yet the Bengals offense could not move the ball against them. The fact that they couldn't protect and Dalton wasn't really seeing the blitz against the Colts, and now you got to face the number one pass defense in the league. I mean, logically, this would be a game that, you're right, would ruin all the fantasies of the Bengals coming back. Logic doesn't happen in the NFL all the time, but that's logic.
I thought you nailed it, Greg, in your QB index, although the eighth place, Deshaun Watson, is just smacks of disrespectful in light of recent events.
It was written before.
Yeah, but most people will read that and think that you're just sticking it to him after the fact, I'm thinking.
Well, that's maybe.
That would be strange.
It'd be weird.
Check out the timestamp.
By calling him one of the very best players at his position in his new profession.
Like, this guy doesn't even know what's going on. but I want to say that I think you nailed the Andy Dalton placement on this one on your index. And I think you hit on it. They thought this year with John Ross and with Tyler Eifert healthy, and with A.J. Green and Joe Mixon there and all that, Gio Bernard, that this would be the year. A lot of people did. I thought that. And it turns out Tyler Eifert never is healthy. And John Ross is another rookie that got hurt and is never heard from. And maybe it was just 2015 and out for Andy Dalton to be like an actual guy that you can bank on to lift a team.
Well, right now, that's the anomaly in his career is 2015.
Yeah.
He hasn't been that guy otherwise.
Let's move on. The Arizona Cardinals and San Francisco 49ers. I don't think we need to spend too much time here with the Cardinals without Carson Palmer and sitting at 3-4 traveling to San Francisco. But we can hit on and any thoughts on the games, fellas, don't be afraid to throw them out, but just keep in mind we're on a tight time budget.
Sure.
But Jimmy Garoppolo is now a member of the 49ers, which has led to people asking, oh, what's going on with Jimmy? Are we going to see him this week, next week? Not at all. Here's what Kyle Shanahan had to say today.
Yeah, that's why I have no certainty what we'll do. That's why I'm taking it one day at a time. And I can't promise you guys that he won't play this week. I can't promise you guys that he'll play this year. It's I know that we have a guy that we're excited about and I know has the ability to really help us and help this team in the future. That's what I mean by we didn't do this to just save this year. We did this because we feel this will improve our team and our organization. And I'm not going to put someone out there who I don't think has a chance to be successful. And that starts with the playbook.
But don't you want to get a look at him, Greg? If you're going to have to pay him or put the franchise tag on him?
I don't put any stock into that quote beyond that he's not playing this week.
Right.
I expect to see him next week, basically.
Sounds like poppycock that he would.
Right. I think I get what he's saying. Like, he kind of wants to see Garoppolo practice and get him going. So he just doesn't want to get ahead of it. But I think that's just talk. I mean, I think he's going to be – if he's not playing next week, it'll be the week after.
And it's been a tough the reporters on that beat have been appropriately tough on ownership and a variety of coaches there. But when you're 0-8, this is the cookie-cutter perfect way to buy yourself not only time but hope throughout the franchise with the fan base. No one cares that they're 0-8 anymore. You have found this piece that it doesn't need to happen this season. I totally agree that it'll play, but it's like you have done the perfect thing to save a completely lost season on paper.
And the last thing on this game is if the Cardinals win this game, which, you know, they have a chance since they're playing a winless team, they're going to be one of the worst 4-4 teams with Drew Stanton, like one of the more hopeless 4-4 teams you could imagine.
And there's a few of them.
Moving on, here's one of the best games of the week, if not the best game of the week. The Kansas City Chiefs, 6-2, travel to Jarrah World to face the Cowboys, 4-3. The Cowboys look really good the last 2 weeks, but now, of course, they're not going to have Ezekiel Elliott. So it's Alfred Morris time or whoever else is going to get their shot. And the Chiefs, meanwhile, coming off that 29-19 win, they're on a short week. Greg, your thoughts about this football game?
I'm really curious to see how the Cowboys can push around this Chiefs defense, which has not played well. It's been a little under talked about that their defense has gone from like, oh, they're okay, they're there, to that they're a little bit of a liability. And then you pair that with what you just said about the Cowboys. As good as Zeke has looked the last few weeks, I think the offensive line has started to look back at their peak shape. That maybe Tyron Smith in pass protection hasn't been the same, but in the running game, Zeke and you would presume Alfred Morris this week and Rod Smith, they've had some big holes to run through, and then you can control the game. The Chiefs aren't a team I don't think are going to run away and hide from them.
Chiefs are the 28th worst run defense. No team in the league has given up more big plays than Kansas City. And I think that Zeke is...
And no team has more big plays. It's kind of funny.
It's kind of weird. It's like a mirror image, but in an unfriendly way for the defense. But I would say this, though, that I think that Alfred Morris, and when he's come in to spell Elliott, like, no one is Ezekiel Elliott, but he can be productive. I think they can move the ball against this team. I like the fact that it's in Dallas. I like it so much.
Uh-oh.
Oh, wow.
I like it so much.
Oh, this has some real...
I'm going to be locking it up. It gives me a little more interest in the game, too. I think it's already a great matchup, but it just puts a little bit of...
This is the best game of the weekend.
I love you locking up.
Just puts a little bit of juice on it.
It's a risk. I thought you might come back conservative after locking up...
I looked hard at this list.
...in New England last week. You are locking up a team that just lost arguably their most important player to suspension. Wow, look at you. And against a team that has the best record in the AFC. Look at you.
I will be correct.
I mean, the record said that most of the time me and you are not correct.
Oh, look at big step for Greg. Included himself there in the lack of success. That's growth.
It's actually a double big step because he used to include me as well. He's like, we all are terrible. But Greg, leaving you out.
You've been fine. You've been fine this season.
To your point, though, Chiefs fans should not lose any sleep over me locking up against their team. They should, in fact, stay up all night.
And the reason I agree with you, if we were picking this game for NFL Pick'em, check it out on Saturday, DVR it up. I'd be picking the Cowboys as well because they're not quite as one-sided lately. Since David Irving came back, he's been good, and you got DeMarcus Lawrence and Sean Lee and Scandrick's coming off his best game. I'm not saying they're a defense-first team, but their defensive line has made some noise the last couple weeks, and if you can just be a little balanced, you'll have a chance.
I like the Chiefs in this game, so I'm going against you on this, guys, but should be a good game. We excited?
Good luck. Sail alone.
That's the game of the week.
Is this Joe Buck and our friend?
It is, actually.
Tony?
That's the other note. Tony Romo, his first time announcing the Dallas Cowboys.
Ah. And everybody, I was getting a lot of heat. I said I had a great time watching the playoffs this season, even the non-Yankees games, and at the end of Game 7 yesterday, I gave Joe Buck a little love on Twitter, and everybody treated me like I was a damn monster. Joe Buck does an incredible job in baseball, and he is super... Although he's had his issues, and at times he's been on the air for 20 years, and people point out a couple different things.
People love to hate that guy. I don't know.
Buck is such a great announcer. So pairing, you gave Tony Romo, Greg, the first half MVP for his job as a color guy, which is deserved, even though it's not a real thing. Buck is a Hall of Famer in his prime to me.
Wow.
Play-by-play guy. And everybody can suck it.
I agree with you on on baseball. But what I really think, I'm just reading the subtext here. Dan has now really, over the last few years, become a host. So he sees himself in the same in the same genre as Joe Buck. And now he's starting to respect, hey, that's not as easy a job as I used to think when I was just a schlub. And now, you know, he recognizes game.
When I was when I was Johnny Jacknuts, you know, I thought that Joe Buck was a real loser. Oh, making fun of Aunt Randy Moss. Yeah.
Ah, your hidden identity, Johnny Jacknuts.
Let's move on. The Atlanta Falcons, 4-3, third place in the NFC South, eked one out against the Jets last week. You know, got it done. Maybe didn't play tremendously well, but they played well enough to beat New York. And now a big, 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 big game against the Carolina Panthers in Charlotte. A game, Greg, that Cam Newton will not have his number one wide receiver because he was just traded for whatever reason. He's no longer on the team because they want more speed. So I guess now it's going to be a track meet for the Panthers, and they're going to destroy the defending NFC champions.
Well, they believe that the running game is struggling in part because the field is so condensed that they have no one that can take the top off of a defense. And in theory, that I think that's going to be Curtis Samuel, their second-round pick. We'll see if he,
we'll see.
He's basically done nothing. We'll see if he can make that big of a factor, because I think Rivera looks at this team. They're not an offense-first team. They're a defensive team, and they must look at the Falcons this week and think, we just blitzed the bejesus out of the Bucs. We're blitzing everyone every week. That's kind of who their identity is this blitz, blitz, blitz. They're getting a lot of pressure, and they're facing a Falcons offensive line, a Falcons passing attack, that's been the biggest problem. Their offensive line, which is a little overrated last year, has been a problem for Matt Ryan this year, and I think it's going to be tough for the Falcons to score some points.
I think there's a lot of pressure on this team after trading away Kelvin Benjamin. A, the player's clearly not happy at all with the decision. And in theory, you could make an argument for their reasoning that we want to open up the offense and suddenly...
Doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make a lot
trade
of sense.
Trade Devin Funchess then.
Well, that's the thing. I guess they found those two to be redundant and picked Funchess, who's had 9 catches in 3 weeks. Benjamin made a beautiful touchdown catch last week for an offense that is... I found pretty unwatchable.
We didn't really talk about it when the trade went down, but Benjamin also was, it seems like he's been a concern for them.
Yes.
With his fitness and things of that nature.
It's fair.
So they might have decided, listen, this guy is too much to deal with. We're not going to re-sign him, so let's get some value. So
my only argument is he was traded to a GM and a coach that couldn't have known him any better than they do. So
mean those guys are right.
It's, you know, true. I mean, are they looking at Russell Shepard, who's got a lot of
yeah,
speed?
He could get more snaps, too. I'm very intrigued by this game because I know I'm a broken record in that these teams are going to change throughout this season. These are two of the teams that I think have the potential to be a much different team in mid-December and a better team than they are right now. And then they're 4-3 at 5-3. I think it's a really big game, especially for Atlanta right now, to just kind of get some hold into this season. And that's why I've used my number one draft pick at the 10 a.m. hour and selected this as the game I want to watch. That's
brave.
A new weekly feature.
I like that. We might need to get a drop involved with that. One last note before we move on. Devin Funchess, Zach Ertz, Christian McCaffrey, and Pierre Garçon. What do these four men all have in common?
They are all male.
That is correct. What else?
Professional football players.
Yes, and one more thing, and only one more thing. All have been targeted more this season than Julio Jones.
Wow. Yeah.
Sometimes it's not complicated. Sometimes, Steve Sarkisian, you just throw it to your best guy. Do it more. And maybe you'll score more points.
And Sarkisian, one of his bullet points in the offseason was like, there is a way I can improve this offense. It's going to be more targets in the red zone and more targets in general for Julio Jones.
Ooh,
and it's like,
good point.
Yet the opposite has happened.
One touchdown of Julio Jones. Maurice Claiborne went out at halftime last week, and every Jet fan, including myself, said, oh, it's over. It's going to be Matt Ryan to Julio Jones in the second half. The guy remained invisible.
If you squinted hard through the rain there, I think you saw a nice little Matt Ryan performance, maybe a sign of things to come.
If you're okay with 3 lost fumbles on the snap.
I mean, that was the rain. Throwing the ball. That was fluky.
It just seems like a little bit of a curse season for Matty. Sunday night football, the Oakland Raiders.
Saving the best for last.
Coming off a really dispiriting performance and a loss to the Bills. Travel to Miami to face the Dolphins, who just traded Jay Ajayi. We're still making sense of that one. So here we go, Mark. The Raiders need to win this game, and desperation. Desperation is good in football to me.
I mean, the Raiders, talk about a team that they just simply there's no sort of holdover from last year's offense, and there's probably, you know, Todd Downing under fire because of it, their offensive coordinator. Derek Carr is not seeing the same, I think, from performance from his wide receivers. Derek Carr does not look like the same guy to me right now. And yet, you're going in to play a team that still has one too many J's. You still have Jay Cutler on this roster, and you just were blanked 40-0 by a wanting Ravens team.
Yikes.
So, I you know, this league is so unpredictable that I would not honestly be surprised to see, without Jay Ajayi, the Dolphins somehow squeak out some sort of a win in any – nothing would surprise
me. They're not playing a great team. They're playing a team with the worst record of them.
It's an absurd. This is the game we're getting
the
on Sunday
Dolphins
night.
Just, yeah, that's bad. This should have been flipped.
Looks good.
Out.
It looked good in August, though.
But the Dolphins got shut out 40-0 last week. Did you turn that into a Jay Cutler dig when he didn't even play in the game?
I just said
that's unfair.
I said there's still one too many J's on this team.
Right.
I don't need Jay.
If anything,
Cutler.
That 40-0 was the best. That was the best thing to happen to Jay Cutler's season, because it was kind of like, yeah, I'm a mess, but look at this team.
Right.
Everyone's a mess. It's all a mess. I'm only part of it.
Yeah, my comment is, I don't need 8 more weeks of it. Whatever it is. So.
What is that phrase? The unstoppable force
meets the immovable object.
Right. Like, yeah. This is the stoppable force, right. The Miami Dolphins offense, 31st in the league in Football Outsiders, versus the totally movable object of the Raiders defense, which is 31st in defense. So who knows? We'll have to see.
Raiders first team
worst
in NFL history through 8 games with 0 interceptions. First team in NFL history.
That's bad.
It's a little fluky, but
you could say they're overdue also. And, you know, I've been slow to get off the Raiders train. I watched the Bills-Raiders game this morning. And I saw a team that did not perform well, but also a little bit of a buzzsaw. This might be the highest the Bills ever get this season.
It's some bad luck.
And the, going into Orchard Park, I still do remember their spirited comeback the prior week. And that's why I'm not going to give up on the Raiders in a soggy AFC.
Oh.
And I also believe that the Dolphins stink. You know it. If you listen to this podcast, they could it could be the 72
like the Dolphins
reanimated, and they'd still stink. But this team especially stinks. So that's why, despite them going on the road and despite all their troubles year, oh, yeah, 5 in a row is going to go 6 because, old Danny boy, the old Zeus is going to luck it.
Well, okay.
I like that.
I like Handsome Hank also declaring some type of vengeance upon you, Mark.
I love Handsome Hank, and he knows that. So my method with that tweet that he sent at me was to utterly ignore it.
Right.
I'll deal with
if
him in person.
If people don't know, you said that he was in a long decline or something.
I was off a bit that we were all talking about. I said he was trending downward or something, but he's extremely...
He doesn't take kindly that
He's
stuff.
Tall, he's British, he's extremely handsome, he's well-spoken, he's got a cutting wit. I mean, I don't think
Mark's,
he's got
Mark's not up for this fight.
No.
Henry
does.
He's not really a guy who's up for fights.
I don't know. You know what it is?
Fights.
Let me say this. We have the next 2 days off. What I like to do when we head off into our version of a weekend is zero controversy. I don't want to deal with anyone on Twitter. I don't want to look at anyone or talk to anyone.
You want to tie the boat to the
tie the boat. Just
put things into neutral.
Thank you.
Have a mimosa.
The idea that Hank and I have ever had a real beef. He may have some with other people. I don't think he and I have ever been in that category.
It was a little ominous. He said, "Expect your stock to decline even faster than mine apparently has." He has the power to reduce stock value.
Company. He has a cunning wit. He is not mean spirited to a friend to destroy their career.
I wouldn't go that far.
Well, I would if he does that to me based off of a podcast comment. Our podcast has more power than I realize.
He's known to bring a bazooka to a knife fight for really almost no reason.
Then bring it.
There he goes. Print that up. Make sure everybody hears it. Mark to
All
handsome
right.
Hank.
That is not the
bring
headline.
It.
That is not the headline. It's ridiculous.
Finally. Monday Night Football, the Detroit Lions 3-4 and losing losers of 3 straight. I don't think they've won in almost a month, and maybe they reported late in the month this summer.
That's starting to show up, that dynamic.
Camp. So now that lack of practice when everyone else was hitting the old books.
Very evident.
We are getting less criticism from Lions fans.
A lot
not
less.
Giving them enough credit.
I think I had him at number 13 in our power rankings, and I was basically told that I was the stupidest man alive. Anyway.
Should have put a 10.
Stupid is what stupid does.
They travel to Lambeau Field. This game stinks.
These primetime games, forget about it.
The Packers, who will be starting Brett Watts's face, not far.
Whoa.
I'm sorry. You could respect him. I'm not going to do it.
He's accomplished a lot in his career, and he's being paid pretty well for it. I had
Which
not
career?
Enjoyed
his it, professional career.
I mean, he right if. He's done very well in his career. Yes.
Carry that
he
water.
He made it to the NFL.
Not carry that water,
not
Greg.
Brett Favre feels like a good
I'm not carrying that water, but I do respect that he's probably better at football than I've ever been at anything. Like, that's a fair
I
point.
Think you're better at your QB index than he is at professional.
He can't throw it deep. And the couple people have been commenting like, oh, they got to let him throw it deep. It's like they let him try about 4 or 5 times in that Saints game, and it was not pretty. It was very un-Aaron Rodgers-like. It's unfair to compare that to him, but it's a condensed offense with him, and I loved what I saw out of Matthew Stafford in that Lions offense for the most part against Pittsburgh. A very good defense, and you almost put 500 yards up against them. They just can't pick up a yard when they need to. Like, but I don't know if this is a game where that's going to be the deciding factor. Like, they're the worst short yardage team just about in the league, but I think they'll be able to move the ball.
It concerns me on the Packers side for Brett Hundley that he was well protected for the most part. He got a ground game, which a lot of times Aaron Rodgers never does. And after this week, they have to go deal. They're 4-3. They could be potentially 4-4. And there's this idea that maybe somehow they can exist until the end of the year. You have the defenses of Chicago, Baltimore, and Pittsburgh coming up.
Well, Mike McCarthy, let's show something. You're coming off the bye week. Here's your chance. We've heard you're an offensive mastermind. You got this backup quarterback. You're playing an okay defense. Let's see something here. Let's see it. And if the Lions win, they got the Browns next week. So suddenly, you know, they could be right back in the mix.
All right. So there you go. That's week 9. And in case you missed it, Mark Sessler, the handsome Hank, bring it. That's direct report.
I won't even attempt to
In my conversations.
Henry will listen to the entire show.
My direct conversations.
ATN. Media Insider. Damn. Kansas. For the truth, go to the Zeus. Zeuser in the morning.
We will be back. We will be back on Sunday night with the flagship program, of course, going over all the games that we just previewed. And thank you to everyone for listening. Remember, NFL Pick'em is on 3 times this weekend on Saturday. Check your local listings. And then very early on Sunday, if you miss it on Saturday, including a very, very important this is a very special episode of NFL Pick'em. Mark Sessler and the loose cannon Erica Tamposi really outdid themselves. Greg
and
involved
Dan.
With the screenplay. Me, you know, I was more
I think
an actor.
Actually, I have seen a little bit of what's gone on here. And Greg and Dan, I think you'll be surprised that you may be a fan favorite after this.
Well, it was a paycheck for me, but I put everything I had into it for the paycheck. It was a labor of love for the rest of you guys, and I look forward to seeing it. And you should look forward to it, people.
I'm a little worried that Dan's trying to distance himself from this. I thought,
when we all
do this together, that we're all doing it together. But I get it. If it's someone else's bit, it's like, eh.
Wow. Okay. What a cynical viewpoint to have, Greg. Okay, let's go. This is Dan Hansen.
It's going to be great.
For Quiet Storm, the old boss, Lindsay Boton, behind the glass. Till Sunday night.